Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, May 16th. I was just ready to release a burp. I thought I better not. You know? I'm not Howard Stern yet.
I've burped on the air before. We can all get it. Yeah. You can get away with it.
I know, but Howard Stern does it like clearly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Might be fake.
No, it's not fake. He does it all the time. But it's funny, but not everybody can do it. You know, I'll try to do it once, but I'm not as big as he is.
Just take a huge swig of the Coke right when you open it.
Yeah. I could lose a couple listeners, so I don't want to do that.
Touche. I would still listen to you if you burped.
Oh, cool. So today is Wednesday, and it's the busiest day here at the station, and my engineer is out today. So,
oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm facing a very busy day, let's put it that way.
Is he always out on Wednesdays?
No. He's safe. Yeah. So, no, I mean, everything is like all set up here. Everything works like a machine. But when somebody gets sick, you know, then everything is like... But he's cool. He works from home and everything, helping me. So we're good. We're good. We do have a guest in the studio. Finally, we've been going dry for a few days here.
Feels like a few weeks.
A few weeks?
I feel like it's been like almost a week and a half.
Oh, maybe.
We went 5 days last week strong, no guess.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Well, we're strong that way. But today we have a fascinating guest. We'll get to him in just a moment. And I just wanted to bring up the fact that it's going to be summer here, huh?
Yeah, it's nice out today.
Today is very nice.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's only when you go to other places do you start appreciating our LA weather.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Because we get used to it. It becomes like the normal until you go somewhere else and you go, oh, wow, you know?
Yeah. Like I home to the East Coast, I was like, woo, can't wait to get back to LA weather.
Yeah. Either too hot, too cold, rainy, snowy, everything. We just have... the same thing every day.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the temperature varies like by a couple degrees, but still, usually sunny and bright.
Yeah. You don't have to do too much planning on what you'll wear.
Yeah.
It's not the same as in other places.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wish it would like vary a little bit just because sometimes it gets really hot here and I want to be wearing like jeans, but it's like, it's short weather.
I know. Mm-hmm. I went and bought some clothes, so I got some shorts yesterday, getting ready for the heat, and it should be pretty good, so we'll see. I like shopping in Macy's, you know, because they got a lot of different brands.
I thought they were going out of business, no?
Let's hope not. I mean, they're having problems, but so does everybody else in retail, but they manage.
But Sears went out, right?
Yeah, Sears is kind of like, I don't know where the fuck Sears is right now. But we'll find out soon enough. So I went and looked for some clothes. But you know what? There wasn't that much that I liked.
Yeah.
And if you find what you like, they don't have your size.
You don't online shop?
No, not for clothes. Not for clothes.
I love to online shop for clothes.
Really?
Yeah, I don't have the patience
to
go to the store.
Do they ever fit you when you get them the first time?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Very rarely do I have an issue.
Really?
And if I do have an issue, I probably don't. It's like I'm just shopping on a brand new website and I'll never shop
there
again.
I tried that a couple times, you know, in the picture it looks totally different. Then it comes home, you put it on, it's like, that doesn't fit me right.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I definitely buy stuff that looks better in the picture.
Right.
Like better quality, and then I get it and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's garbage. I know. But no, that's what I'm saying. Clothes you have to touch, you have to put on. And that's why clothes I'll never buy online. I tried it a couple times.
I think it's different for men, too. Like, none of my guy friends shop online.
Yeah.
But a lot of my girlfriends do.
Yeah. And plus, I think most clothes are designed, like, for bigger bodies. You know, I'm not a big man.
You know?
So you get, like, really long shirts and, you know, and short pants, whatever.
Yeah.
Long shirts. I don't know what the fuck.
I agree, because when I buy, like, pants, they're always so long.
Right.
I'm like, my legs are not that long.
Right, you know, so then you have to fix it and all that. So there you go. But I'll continue my shopping because I didn't find that much good stuff. But I'll continue in my quest to get a new wardrobe for the summer. because I need it.
Yeah, I know. I feel you. I need some new clothes too. But on that note, I will not be shopping for new clothes. So.
Okay. Tell us something. So you're going for your show on Friday?
Yeah, I won't be here Friday.
And that's going to be like all weekend?
All weekend. Yeah. I actually have to be in the hotel by tomorrow.
Oh.
Yeah, but I told him I was like, I'm on the radio in the morning. I'll come at like 3 or 4.
Right after that, yeah.
Well, no, they told me I can come at 3 because I don't even think check-in time is till 2 o'clock anyway or something like that.
Wait, are you looking forward to it or are you kind of apprehensive?
I am, yeah.
Because you don't know what it's going
to
be about.
Yeah, that's the only thing where I'm like, it's giving me a little bit of anxiety because I don't know what to expect. Like usually when I film, I've got a little bit of an idea of what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
This is just kind of like, hey, we're giving you a makeover and that's all I know.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay.
Okay, I'll do that. Whatever.
They're taking my cell phone though, so I'll have like no communication with the outside world for a couple of days, which I think I'm kind of looking forward to.
Good. Yeah. You'll be busy doing other things. Mm-hmm. You got to focus on what they're paying you for.
Yeah, exactly. But I did ask them if I could have my phone for like an hour on Friday because it's my fucking birthday.
That's true.
Yeah, like I want to FaceTime my dad.
Oh, you won't be here on your birthday.
I know. Oh. We'll have to celebrate tomorrow.
Yeah, or Monday.
Don't bring any cake. I hate cake. No sweets for me. Don't bring any.
Okay, no cake for you. All right. We'll bring cupcakes for the guests.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we're going to bring in our guest right now because otherwise we'll be talking shit all hour and we'll forget about it.
That's
today
right.
We're joined by Eddie Connor. Welcome to the show, Eddie.
Hi, you guys. How are you doing this morning?
Good. Thank you for joining us. And let me just adjust your mic here for a second. I don't know what they did here. But at any rate, welcome to the show, Eddie.
Thank you.
We like having you here. Eddie is a longtime friend.
Oh, yeah?
Has been on the station for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And he started a new show with Rachel Angeline.
Okay.
They have a video show on Friday at 1.
Yep.
1 p.m. Pacific. Tell us a little bit about the show, Eddie.
It's called The Eddie Connor Show, and what we like to do is share what we call sound bites for the soul.
Yeah.
We talk about metaphysics, paranormal, the law of attraction, how to get out of your own way when you're trying to create something. And part of the branding is what we call the big butt syndrome.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because everybody's got a big butt, whether they know it or not.
Right.
So they'll talk about love. They'll say, I really want a relationship, but I don't want a jerk. And the way the universe works and the way the neurolinguistic programming works in the brain is your brain only hears the first half of the sentence. And when you put the word but in it, it erases the first half, meaning your desires, your dreams, your aspirations. And then it amplifies and locks in on the second half of it. Mm. So, for example, I want a relationship, but I don't want a jerk. The universe is saying yes to the relationship and the jerk at the same time. So you're stuck in the energy. And the way your brain hears it is, I want a jerk.
Right.
It completely discounts the first thing that's in front of the word but.
Right.
So we have love.
That's
buts.
What her brain says, you know? Mm-hmm. He sends her a lot of jerks. Her brain does.
Yes, it does.
Her brain,
unfortunately,
your heart.
Unfortunately, so. Hopefully that'll change this summer, but we'll see.
What, you want to play a really quick game for fun?
Sure.
And I'll be springing shit on you everywhere. You're like, no, stop, it's my birthday. In one sentence, without even thinking, from your gut, answer this question. The kind of relationships I normally attract are mostly people who...
suck.
He wasn't prepared for that.
How long have you had that pattern?
Since I was 14.
So what happened between the age of 2 and 7, particularly 4 and 7?
I hung out with all white people.
And so... What else happened? And that's so funny because I was not allowed to speak to anybody that wasn't white.
Yeah.
And I'm white trash.
Really?
Yeah. In North Carolina, I was forbidden to have any friends that of any ethnicity by my stepfather, but my mom's like, you treat everybody the same.
Right.
And so I identified more
That's weird your mom and your stepdad would be together then, because they don't seem like they would fit.
They didn't fit, but my dad didn't fit. And so when he got locked up, then she met, my stepdad.
Yeah.
It was not a pretty picture. And so it was an upgrade, we thought, but it was really a lateral move.
Yeah.
And then we moved from the projects to the trailer park, kind of another lateral move.
Right.
But all of my friends were ethnic, but I had to sneak right. hang out with them.
Right.
So between
That's so shitty.
Right. Yeah. So between 4 and 7, uh-huh. what else happened? So you're hanging out with mostly white.
No, people. No. I just hung out with my sister from 4 to 7. But like once I hit like actual grade school, I hung out with all white people.
Okay. So what happened in your life? Was there a big move? Was there a relationship breakup? Did somebody pass away? Was what happened that could have been dramatic for a kid that was between 4 and 7 years old?
Nothing.
That's weird.
My life was great.
Okay. Then
4 to 7 was like fantastic. But my whole childhood.
Why would you
really
say it would have happened in between 4 and 7?
Because the first year you live in your heart chakra is from 3 to 4 years old.
Right.
And then you live in your solar plexus chakra, which is about self-esteem, self-confidence, fight or flight attitudes,
right.
and survival mechanisms. From 2 to 3
mm-hmm.
in the self-esteem area, the gut, and then 3 to 4 with the heart. But then every 7-year cycle, you repeat a pattern.
Mm.
So now I'm wondering if it was between, if it was your next levels, which would have been between about 9 to 10 or 10 to 11, if there was a shift there that was dramatic for you in the family.
Mm-mm. I mean, everything That's dramatic crazy. Happens around 14. Like, my parents pulled me out of the school I was in, put me in another high school, moved to a different house. My dad got caught cheating. That was all at 14.
Okay. Mm. There we go. So, 7 and 7, it's a 7-year cycle.
Yeah.
7 and 7 is 14. So, when you went back to the root chakra around 14, it would have been your third year in the root chakra. That's where survival got
right.
rocked.
Right.
And so, how long did that go on? 2 or 3 years where it was really tough?
No, probably like. It probably stopped being rough at like 2000. So like from 4,
Whoa.
Yeah, it was like a couple of years. No, I would say like 2 years.
Okay.
So when I was 14, that's when the shit hit the fan. And around 16, things started to get a little bit better for everybody.
Okay.
But I was like a little shithead also.
Well, and you know, with your coping.
I was giving my parents really. Hell.
Yeah, coping mechanism. We all cope differently. So that's all around the solar plexus and the heart chakra. And
right.
so this love is about the heart chakra.
Right.
And so you're attracting people who suck.
Mm-hmm.
And what other kind of people are you attracting? They suck and give me two more
abusive.
Adjectives.
Abusive.
And?
Attractive.
And? yeah.
Does that usually go together?
Usually successful too. No, actually I've dated a lot of bums, so I take that back. Okay. I've definitely dated dudes with no money.
I bet you've dated dudes that are a really great spectrum of all kinds of people. Successful but can still be a bum in a way.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
yeah,
or
that's
be
true.
Very attentive to you, but now you're paying their rent.
Yeah.
So
sounds about right.
So here's another fun question. And so what we're talking about is the energy and the butt addictions.
Right.
Sometimes we call it asphalt disease.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an acronym for accidental self-sabotage because it's our ass and it's our fault.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
So when you have fun with metaphysics and the law of attraction, it keeps your heart in a happier place.
Right.
And it keeps your energy up. And the higher your energy, your thoughts, your feelings, and your frequencies are, the more you will pull to you what you do want, and less of what you don't want.
Right.
Thank you. Can I be psychic for a minute?
Sure. Oh, okay? My God. I like psychic games. Sam knows this.
Will you write your birth name and your birth date there? And I'll
my birth name?
Birth name and birth
middle
date.
Name, too?
Yep.
Do you want to see it or no?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And the reason I'm asking that question is, shoot, I forgot the question, Sam.
That's okay. It'll come back to you since she writes it. But the thing is, Eddie is showing off his ability to really analyze how energies work and stuff.
Yes.
And that's very interesting because people don't usually talk like that, you know?
Yeah, well, and, you know, I came out as a gay person when I was in the 11th grade.
How did your stepfather handle that? If he doesn't like ethnic people, he definitely doesn't like gays.
So, no, he didn't. And my dad was gone whenever I was about 4. He was locked up. Then my stepdad, my mom, and he separated
mm-hmm.
when I was in the 6th grade. And then mm-hmm. Then she met Soapy Hercules. He's the guy that I think of as my real dad.
Oh, so he's like a good man.
Yeah, Soapy's a good man, but my stepdad was all of the things that you probably have dated.
Right, yeah.
And me too.
Well, I've never dated any racist, so.
Okay, yeah, well, which is... I shouldn't. He would talk about all the people I couldn't talk to. Then I would find out he was seeing.
Like a black ebony
yeah.
bitch, yeah.
And he's like, yeah, but it's okay. But it's okay. She's light skinned and everything. She's real pretty. And I'm like,
yeah.
And so it's so confusing. But
when it comes,
he's in denial.
When it comes to sex, man, there's no prejudice, you know?
No, some people just aren't attracted. Like, I'm not...
Maybe not attracted, but I mean, if they are, they don't like, oh, because she's black.
Oh, yeah.
For them, it's like, if you get sex, man, suddenly it doesn't matter. The differences
don't
matter.
Right, right. That's so pathetic, y'all.
I'm usually the only one in the room when I have sex. I do teach self-love, though, but it's a totally different kind of thing. So with relationships, what is it you primarily do want with relationships?
I want a husband.
What kind of husband?
Actually, I don't want a husband because I don't want to get married. I want the party and the ring.
Okay. Now, so this is funny. Can you feel the contradiction in that?
Yeah.
And how does it feel, good or bad?
I feel like it's okay. It's what I want.
Okay. It is what I want.
You're
going to
get it?
Yes. So finished sentence. Oh, that is what I want. I want the party and the ring, but...
But I don't want to get married. I feel like marriage ruins things.
Okay. And so that's what you saw in your atmosphere
when you
were growing up.
Yeah.
And I call it buttus aspirandi.
Yeah.
So our MO ends up being a BM.
Yeah.
That's not good, is it?
No.
So what you saw and felt, thank you, say to her, you're a strong, strong, strong feeler.
Yeah.
And you're way more sensitive than you let most people know that you are.
Yeah, but I let people know I'm sensitive, though.
To a point.
To a point, yeah.
And you let them in on your... in your way. You control it.
No, I don't.
Wait. Yes, you do, girl.
I feel like I don't.
I'm gonna say, girl, let the old man finish here. The fluffy old man with the big Texas hair this morning. You are a... I mean, this is a compliment, but it's not going to sound complimentary at first. There's a duplicity with you.
Uh-huh.
And that was part of your survival technique whenever you were going through all of this
when
you were a little girl.
Right.
So what you saw around you affected you particularly as an empath around the digestive area,
right,
the back, the neck and the shoulders, and your heart.
Right.
Did you have any issues with breathing, asthma, any of
asthma?
That is not feeling loved enough.
Right.
And that is, but you have this very strong...
I don't have it anymore, though.
No, it's okay. It's like, it's at the root of that breathing thing is what's going on around me that I can't fix, that I can't control, that I want to back away from, but I also want to be in there and lift them up. So there was not a splitting off like Sybil or anything like that. There was this, you are really good at seeing both sides of things, unless you get really heated.
Right.
And then there's almost no talking to you. So you have
this delicious
balance until you get fired up and you're trying to make a point.
But it doesn't take much to get me fired up.
It doesn't. But at the same time, so you do like to control things. Yeah. That's survival.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't do it in a really shitty way. You do it in a way where hopefully we all win. But you let people in on your level in your way and you control it. But then there's this tipping point, and I don't think you even know what it is, that where it's kind of like you let your guard down or something happens and then you let them in, you let them incrementally, but there's this thing that shifts with you, Danny, that when the wall comes down, you're like, the arms go out, the heart is wide open, and then
yes,
you lose control.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yes.
So
absolutely.
So, and
couldn't have said it better myself.
Oh, goosebumps.
Yeah. Like as soon as I stop being like a bitch and I'm like, okay, yes, I'm all about this. That's when the wheels start to turn. And then I get desperate because I feel like they're not as interested as they were when I was a bitch and I did have my guard up. And then things just like go downhill from there.
So can we get even more personal?
Sure, I don't
care. Do you feel like sometimes in the past there's been a person or two you've dated that would say that you are a no-win situation?
What do you mean?
About with conversation or arguing or communication.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that comes from, this is what I do want, but this is what I don't ever want any more of because I live through it.
Right.
So you're sending out a signal of what you do want and don't want simultaneously, and the energy gets stuck in the middle. So your energy is contradicted.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's this thing. I know you have had to be in friendships or relationships. And again, it doesn't sound like a compliment at first.
Right.
But we're going to get to the root of it.
Where, are we?
Oh, yes.
No, we're not, man. We're spending too much time on this.
Oh, it's so simple, I promise.
People love to hear this shit, though.
Yeah, but you're kind of losing me on this here. Okay, so let's move along.
Okay, the bottom line is, for every thought you think,
right,
thoughts are lifeless and soulless. every thought you think just dies unless you add feeling to it.
Right,
feeling
right.
creates 99.99% of our reality in every area of our lives. Most right. people don't feel, they act, they think, and that's it.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
You were a strong, strong feeler in love. Yes, she is. No, she isn't. Yes, she is. No, she isn't. Right. Yes, she is. No, she isn't.
Right.
So you're a strong feeler on both sides of the fence. So it's like, oh.
Right.
It's like Michelle Obama arms strong.
Right.
And when you catch yourself thinking a thought that you don't like or that you don't appreciate or that doesn't make you feel empowered, just play the 5-for-1 game. And that is, I really want a relationship and I want someone who is conscious. Mm-hmm. I want an even exchange of energy. I
right.
would like someone who's generous and thoughtful and someone who really lets me in and allows me to come in a way that feels good.
Right.
I don't want a jerk.
Right. Right.
So for every one thing that you don't want, list 5 things that you do want and that you've actually had in the past.
Right.
If thank you, they're laughing, and I promise I'll shut up, Sam.
No, you're here to talk, but you, that's okay. Go ahead.
We're talking about love. We're like, okay, Danny.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But
I'll come on your show and we can continue.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we're not going to
analyze
anything.
We can do a full hour on your show all about my life. Don't worry.
So analyzing.
If you took apart the last 10 people you were ever involved with, I'm not kidding, she would have the perfect mate. If you took this one was a great lover, this one's a great communicator, this one was a great provider, this one was a good listener, this one was this. Now, they had 30 other things that sucked.
Right.
But
like 100.
Exactly. So you were getting what you do and don't want. And now start paying attention and feeling, make a list, make an inventory of everyone. You don't have to put their names, but the men with the positive aspects.
Right.
And then you're getting each relationship, she's getting a little bit more and a little bit more of what she does want.
That sounds like it's going to take a long time.
It isn't. If you shift, you've got to find out the root cause of why you only attract men who suck.
I know.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Yeah,
you
know? I don't know why.
I know
do,
exactly.
And the red flags are always there. Yeah. Like when I think back of a relationship that ended, I'm like, oh man, fucking day one, that bitch told me he was a piece of shit.
So why do you think, Eddie?
I feel like part of it's genuinely a protection mechanism. You right. want to be in control. You don't want anybody to control you. Thank you. Cindy Crawford talks about this when she was a little girl. She and her siblings were all together. Everything was a happy home. Then the mother and the father separated. In the midst of all of that, one of her siblings died.
Oh.
And so now they're living in separate households. And the father controlled the mother with the money.
Yeah.
And so everything went from lovely to this.
Right.
And right then and there, her belief, like yours, was I will never, ever be put in a position where someone controls my livelihood and
right.
affects myself emotionally. So hers was a strong, 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 clear, clear, clear signal
right.
with just a little bit of contradiction. And even to this day, she has to practice letting her husband open the door for her.
Yeah. Oh, so no, my husband can open the door every day.
Yep.
Yeah, well, you'll train
I tread up and just stare at him like,
Yeah, the root of it is survival and control. You want to control it, but the second she thinks it's safe that she doesn't have to micromanage or control it internally, she lets her guard down, and they prove her right every single time. So do you need to be right?
Oh, I don't know.
Probably.
I would probably say, yeah, I think I need to be right.
So if you need to be right a lot, would you rather be right or rather be happy?
I'd rather be happy.
Okay, so you're tired of being right if the things you're right about are the guys that you attract.
Yeah.
And so you're ready to be happy.
Yeah, no, 110%.
Like really happy.
Yeah, like I want to be head over heels in love.
But see, you don't.
Yes, I do, but...
No.
If I'm head over heels in love, that means I'm happy.
You...
I'm not happy when I'm not in love. I've never been in love. I've cared about people.
Yeah.
I've right. dedicated a lot of time to
I
people.
I think maybe she's not making herself open to something like that, right?
I mean, make myself too open, I feel.
No, not for love, because if you did, if you were open, you'd attract it, you'd find it, and you'd pursue it. But maybe you're not. You know?
I don't know.
You're easily sending 2 very, very, very distinct signals. This is what I don't want, this is what I do want, and that one person keeps coming to you that's got both. You do want to be in love, but there is a part of you that's scared to death of that.
Maybe. I don't know, because I've never been in love, so I can't say if I'm scared of it or not.
But, you know, it's funny because you're mostly talking from the neck and up. The more we
how
talk,
do you, like, how else do you talk?
Through your ass, too.
Yeah. Hey, asphalt. It from your gut. The more we talk about love, the more you hold your breath.
The more I was actually holding my breath while he was talking. That's what but I'm, I think that was just because sometimes I hold my breath.
So why do you hold your breath?
I don't know.
It's because
I did that while I was driving today, too. It was like holding my breath while I was driving.
It's a safety mechanism. It's the little kid in you is trying to be invisible. She's trying to find a way to control it. She's being quiet like a chameleon until she can figure out what the next mental strategy is going to be or emotional strategy. Mm-hmm. And then when you do, you can take the breath.
Oh my God, I was just holding my breath again.
I know.
And I don't notice it until he pointed it out. I'm like, I wonder how many times I hold my breath when we're on the air.
And breath, I'm just like,
breath,
breath is life force energy. And the breath has to go past the heart to get to the solar plexus. So if you never breathe further than here or here, then you're not activating the heart and the solar plexus.
Yeah, but who breathes that heavy?
Oh, if you don't have to breathe heavy, child, please. Just breathe consciously.
Yeah. So, Eddie, so how did you get into knowing all this stuff? When did you start pursuing all this?
When I was a little kid, I always knew I was psychic or whatever words you want to call it. My grandmother was psychic, Southern Baptist, Bible thumping, Sally Beatrice, honey, who did an exorcism on me when I was in the fourth grade.
Like a real life exorcism?
It was a cleansing and a something else she called it, but it felt like devil worship to me because I was a kid.
God, what the fuck?
You went through a lot, huh? Dad was locked up early on in your life?
Is he still in jail?
Oh.
I never met him. I never met him after he and Mama left. But it was him and Mama that were living with us in the projects when my real dad came in. So the first time I saw anything unusual or weird that I remember was after he'd come in and he'd beat my mom really bad. And Mama was pregnant with Terry at the time. And he came through the front door, it's this tiny little place, and this little girl pulled me underneath the table in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this under the table. All I can see is them from the waist down to Mama on the floor and him kicking her.
Wow.
And me and this little girl are holding on to each other. And then after he left and stormed out of the house, I turned to her to, like, oh my God, what do we do now? She wasn't there. There was no way she could have gotten out. I literally felt someone tug my shirt sleeve and pull me under the table when he came in the door.
Really?
And then as soon as he left, she was gone. She disappeared. And then I thought,
wait, so she wasn't real?
No.
Oh,
mm-hmm.
Wow.
I was a twin, and my mom lost my twin when she was 3 months in. So I was like the gay Houdini baby that came like 5 months later. And so I played with her. She and my sister and I played together all the way up until I was 10 years old. And that was the first time I remember seeing her. So she pulled me under the table. My dad stormed out of the house and she disappeared. And now I'm trying to figure out if Mom's dead or alive. And then this light, just like when you're swimming under the water, the light from the sun comes through like that in these beautiful beams. It came through the wall, all of these beams of light right on my mom. And then I'm like looking at her and I just had a knowing everything was going to be okay because it's like a consciousness. And then in from the light came these angels. Uh-huh. And just like you see in the paintings and stuff. And they were just sort of holding the energy there. And they were telling me telepathically that she was going to be fine.
Right.
And so I just knew to be really quiet. So I was just picking up the busted bowls and the glasses and stuff and stacking them neatly till she came back around.
Right.
So that's when I knew I was a weird old psychic freak.
Wow.
It's not a freak.
Yeah.
And then you've had things throughout your life, I guess, that confirm your thoughts and everything. That's very interesting.
I've always heard about twins that, like, if one dies, you can still, like, feel the presence of the other. Like, I've heard
probably. It makes a lot of sense, you know?
Because it's like you were, like, in the womb. Like, you guys were supposed to be one. Well, you were fraternal, obviously, because it was your sister, but still in the womb together. That's sad. That's really crazy.
Yeah. So how many siblings do you have?
I have three.
Three?
Yep, it's me and Bobby and Terry and Doodlebug.
Uh-huh.
In the South,
oh, my God, that's the most.
I swear to God. In the South, you got to name one kid after a snack food.
Is that a snack food? It sounds like a snake or something.
It was like snickerdoodle, doodlebug, tadpole.
Yeah,
squirt.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's like some redneck shit.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I mean, totally, totally white trash.
So you grew up in Texas? Is that where you came from? No, because you said
North
Texas.
Carolina.
No, because you said Texas.
I don't say Texas before. Yeah, no.
I don't know why you said Texas before. I know you're not from Texas.
No, I don't know why they call Texas a southern state. Yeah. I just
that's
don't.
Like Midwest.
I know. Right?
Yeah, it's why like not it, even it, Southern.
It's not remote.
It's because people have an accent down there and they think it sounds Southern. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well,
yeah.
But it's also in the South, you know. Oh, yeah. Come on. It's very
not
south.
Really.
Why? South of the country.
South is like, I feel like Arkansas, like Mississippi,
Louisiana, yeah. North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Georgia. Because the higher up in the mountains you go, the more you sound like one of those billy goats.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Mama said, oh, Edward, the higher you go up in the mountain, the more country they going to sound. I'm like, okay, Mama.
I think it's so weird how people, like, all talk the same, though. Like, well, if you're from, different. Like, a certain location, yeah. Like, you talk like that.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, because it's not, like, a country. Like, if you hear people from France, they've got a French accent. But, like, it's weird because here, it's, like, if you're from the South, you've got a South accent. But it's not, like, it's another country. It's
right,
just, like,
right.
But you're born in a different state.
But it's kind of a different culture, though.
It is.
Okay, but who was the first person ever born with that accent? Did they just start it?
Who knows? They started it. You have to go back to how language started, the dialect.
It goes all the way back to Europe, right. For sure. And people make fun of Southerners and how twangy and hillbilly-ish we sound.
I mean, it does sound hillbilly-ish. I'm not going to front.
It is literally from Europe. It originated there. Then when we started mixing in the Irish, the Europeans, and all of that stuff in with the people of that area, it's a derivative of, no joke, an aspect of people with money in the European part of the world when we came to the southeastern United States.
Yeah.
And the most beautiful southern accents are around New Orleans and the Creole sound. And even in North Carolina, there'll be 50 different variations of this twang.
Right.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And the more the twang, the less sophisticated you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, he's so stupid, he sound like that.
Yeah, it's true. It does sound like, but I think also because of the cartoon characters and the comedies, you know, they had all these like, what was that show with Don Knotts, for example? They had the
Mayberry.
Guy. Yeah, Mayberry, right? With the Andy Griffith and all that.
I grew up 20 minutes from there.
Right, so they kind of talk like that, but really heavy accent and
stuff.
Right. And so you see it a lot in the movies, and I think that's probably what teaches us that.
It is. Yeah. Well, Andy is from Mount Airy, North Carolina, which is made after Mayberry, which is up the street from where I was born and raised. And Don Knotts, Barney, was from Virginia.
Oh.
Not Gomer. Yeah,
yeah, Gomer was the one with the heavy accent.
Yeah, he was from Alabama.
Really?
Yeah, he was an opera singer. And Don and opera Andy singer. Went to Santa Monica at a bar to hear him sing one night and hired him on the spot for the show.
Really?
Yeah.
Very interesting. So now I wanted to ask you, why did you, North Carolina, where in North Carolina exactly? Is it like in a nice area?
It's.
No, where you were later, or did you leave early?
Yeah, well, I was born and raised in High Point, North Carolina, and the joke with High Point, and this is the truth,
right.
It's located between Hornytown and Clyde. I'm not even joking, and it's the furniture capital of the world, or it was.
Yeah.
So High Point, the nice houses in High Point are pretty,
right?
But not where we were. Then I moved to Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, more of a real college town where there's a lot of people from all over the world.
Right.
And that was my first taste of people who had knowledge that was not just Budweiser or Schlitz. And so that was from 20 till I was 35 years old. And then I moved out here when I was 35. Been here 23 years now.
So did you go to school there?
You're in your 50s?
Mm-hmm.
You don't look like you're in your 50s.
I love you.
You don't?
Oh, child. It's the hair, ain't it?
Yeah, probably.
It's the energy, you know?
So, no, I didn't go to college. I just graduated high school, and then I went to Guilford Technical Institute for Commercial Graphics, Sam.
Ah.
Yeah, so I'd be drawing cool. And stuff.
Very cool. I got into graphics later on, but like when computers came around.
Yeah.
I lived actually before computers existed.
Right.
But remember then they had like desktop publishing and you know, Photoshop and all that stuff. And, and I got into it and, you know, so I relate to it. I love graphics and stuff too. Yeah, so
all of us hated it when computers came around because that meant we didn't have a job in commercial graphics anymore.
But until you adopted the computers to do the job easier and faster, you know.
Computer technology is taking over the world. Have you guys seen that commercial where the lady is like working in a factory and then it's slowly like emptying and then she's the last one?
Really?
Yeah, and I was like, wow, that's really sad.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, that's the demise of almost every metropolitan city across the United States.
Right.
Right.
Because I grew up in a textile town.
Yeah.
So do you believe in like the devil and like ghosts and like have you seen Insidious?
Yeah.
Do you believe in that or you think it's a joke?
No, there's a...
Have you ever had sleep paralysis?
I have.
Horrifying.
Twice. It is terrifying.
I get it like once or twice a week.
What?
Uh-huh.
Okay, let me tell you what that's about, but I won't
it's
go
into
it. It's
a devil coming in.
No, it isn't. It is absolute tons of desire. You have a lot of desire, and you have a lot of resistance. So the energy is pulling like this, and it creates a...
While you're
paralysis.
Trying to sleep, though.
When you're sleeping, you're supposed to be back into the stream of pure positive energy. So all the stuff that you dealt with during the day literally just goes away. So you're still attracting things to you even when you're sleeping.
Right. I guess so, that makes sense. So but if, I think it's... Because then why do you hallucinate and why do you see horrifying things?
You can do that when you're awake.
I mean...
Have you ever stood in line at the Starbucks over there on Los Feliz Boulevard?
No.
There's some scary stuff over there.
Really? Well, I'm definitely not ever going. Yeah, so everybody don't go to that Starbucks.
So it's thoughts, feelings, frequencies that are contradicted desire and resistance. If your desire amps up just a tad bit more, you will slowly stop having that paralysis. Oh. But it's not the devil. There's no monster sitting on your chest trying to suck your life force energy out of you. But that stuff is real. It is real. Yeah. I don't play that. I talk to baby Jesus every time I do a reading. I've already done my prayer in here before we started talking about your energy.
Right.
Mm. Because I like to work with the light, the things that feel good, the angels, the spirit guides, your soul group, your pre-birth planning group, your council of elders that all got together with you before you incarnated into this planet.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Eddie, do you hold like workshops and things like this, like for people? Because you have a lot of stuff to teach people. Tell us, and you also have the event. I don't want to forget about that.
Yep.
So tell us, tell us what do you do really?
It is help people get out of their own way, and meaning everybody has a contradiction about something that's important to them. And so when people come to an intuitive or a life coach or a psychologist, they ask about either love or money or career.
Right.
And the only time they ever ask about health is when they're sick already.
Yeah, right.
So
nobody appreciates that health is the most important thing.
That's right.
Yeah, that's what I said this morning. That when I walked in, I go, yeah, I'm having a shit day, but I'm alive, I'm breathing, I'm here, so it's good. Yeah, but yeah,
I'm breathing right to here, but I'm here.
I'm breathing in my neck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're teaching a beat the money butt blues class and change your destiny. And the money butts are the things that keep us paralyzed. And keep us from attracting what we do want financially. And the word money carries so much contradicted energy in it because you heard it growing up and you're a sensitive person. So any conversation about money was either felt good or it felt bad.
Right.
It felt rich or it felt poor. It felt lack.
It's been feeling a lot poor lately.
And the more we feel that, the more we will attract the basis of that. You can work this hard, like the length of a football field, and only get paid the football, or you can work the length of the football and get paid the amount of the field and the stadium and the participants in the stadium eating their popcorn and screaming.
Yeah, so it's up to you really to do that.
It takes a minute though to shift the thoughts and the feelings.
That's true. Yeah. So tell us about the event that's upcoming. We're going to finish a few minutes early today because I got other things to do.
Yeah, because you're here by yourself today.
Yeah, but
Lord.
Yeah, but I'm not kicking you out, Eddie, or anything. I do have other things to do.
So it's called Beat the Money Butt Blues and Change Your Destiny, and it's on Tuesday night, May the 22nd, from 7:30 to 9:30. It's at the Colony Theater, and it's to help you become friends with money again, really good friends, lovers with money again, so that you're in the flow of prosperity consciousness instead of poverty consciousness. And in short, there's two frequencies on the earth plane and throughout the universe. It's a high frequency, which means rich, happy, connected to source energy, abundant, enriched, connected. And then there's a low frequency, which is negative, poverty, not enough. Men suck.
Right.
And so all you have to do is learn to tune into and be in harmony with and acquiesce to the higher frequency.
Mm-hmm.
I have my health. I feel good today. I made it.
Mm-hmm.
And then start building from there. Every time you laugh, every time you feel good, every time you smile, every time you connect to somebody, you're in a high frequency. Mm. And every time you're in the high frequency and you feel it in your gut,
right,
and in your heart, you hold it as long as you can by reiterating everything around you that is working for you in that moment. And then you have what I call energetic multiple orgasmic combustion point frequencies. Okay. And you don't even need a towel for that. You hold that energy internally until you keep feeling it more and more, and your energy goes out. Every time you feel good about anything, you're in a high frequency, and the universe is saying yes to prosperity. But the second you look at how much money is in your bank account, you flip to the low frequency.
Oh.
So it's to retrain your heart, your mind, and your soul to be high.
That's probably how. That's probably why my morning started off shitty.
Yeah.
Because I looked at my bank account and I was like, fuck today.
No, always the first 10 minutes, don't look at your phone. Don't turn on the TV. Don't do any of that. Get yourself back into the stream of pure positive energy.
Yeah.
The first 10 minutes will set the tone for the next 20 hours.
Yeah.
Do I have time to say one thing that's really crazy?
Yeah, for sure.
Did you know that we're all taught to work hard and that if you work hard, then your good will come to you?
Right, right, right.
That's a lie. If you don't like the job you're working hard at and you feel bad at it and you feel like it's unfair and you don't feel you're seen and heard and you don't feel appreciated at your job, how do you feel?
Like shit.
And so you're working this many hours to make that much money.
Right.
Every single day, 40 hours a week, you're in a poverty mode of consciousness and you don't even know it, even though you're a good worker.
Right.
So which is more powerful, feeling good are working 40 hours a week, which has more power behind it to create your reality?
Feeling good.
Feeling good.
And working 1 hour, oh, 1 hour a day with Sam.
So 17 seconds, from 1 second to 17 seconds of feeling good is equal to 2,000 human action hours worth of blood, sweat, and tears expended.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2,000 action hours. Every 17 seconds that you can feel good without contradicting it with a negative thought, it becomes exponential.
Right.
Go up to 4 sets of 17, it is equal to 2 million physical action hours worth of labor expended if you can just feel good for 68 seconds a day just for the joy of feeling good.
Sounds good to me.
68 seconds is not that long. No, let's start now.
Exactly. Go close your eyes and tell yourself you're the best person in the world. And the things will work out for you. Live in high frequency. And all the other words you make up. I love that.
Yeah.
Eddie loves to play with words.
High frequency isn't made up. Oh, wait.
Energetic multiple orgasmic.
Yeah, I was like, I can't even remember.
Yeah, and the butt syndrome and all that stuff. Yeah.
Ass.
Put your freak on. And right?
Yeah, get your freak on.
Yeah, see, I know what Eddie talks about. Eddie, how can people find you if they want to get a hold of you?
They can go to eddieconner.com, and it's C-O-N-N-E-R, because I'm an not an or.
And what about social media? Are you there too?
I am there. Good Lord have mercy. On Instagram is Eddie Connor Soul, and on Facebook is Soul Intuitive Eddie Connor, and on Twitter as Soul Intuitive.
Soul Intuitive it is. All you have to do really is you know, we sit here and we give all the different names. All you have to do is Google a person.
Right.
You'll that's get
right.
everything.
Right. And if they're not on Google, that's sketch.
Yeah. Hey, girl.
Yeah, very sketchy. Like, if I can't Google your ass and a Facebook don't at least pop up, something's not right.
Yeah.
I was trying to Google people for 5 years before I realized it had anything to do with the internet. Yeah.
Eddie, thank you so much. Eddie
thank
Connor,
you,
thank
Thanks,
you so
Danny.
Much for joining us. Everybody, check out his radio video show here with Rachel Angeline. That's on Fridays at 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific. And, of course, if you miss it, you can see it online, both on our website and Facebook Live, too.
Yep.
So you're all over the place.
Tomorrow's my last day of the week, people.
Tomorrow's the last day of the week, so... yeah, we'll see what I do Friday. I'll probably have a co-host, a guest co-host,
yeah,
like Jim or something. You know, we'll see.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks everybody for listening. We'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.